And now, nationally recognized financial experts Scott Hansen and Pat McClain of Hansen McClain Advisors. It's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you are here with us on this weekend day, or if you listen to the podcast, whatever day you may be listening. Both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And glad you are here with us as we're talking. We got a great program lined up today.
Oh, we absolutely. And it's this time of year where people are graduating from both high school and college. And I've had some great, great kind of soul searching conversations with some of my friends about being empty nesters. And how that feels, not only emotionally, but how excited they are financially to get their kids out of college. And what a couple of them said to me, now I get to really, really, really concentrate on saving for retirement.
Well, it is an interesting time. And we'll talk about it a little bit during this program, because what happens is most people feel unprepared for retirement.
Most people are,
right? Even those that there's some that say, I don't know if I ever want to retire, but it's like, ooh, I better make sure I've got the assets set aside. But the time what we've found as financial advisors that people can really get serious about it, it's usually when their youngest has launched.
Yeah, or is within shot of launching. So if you've got two or three kids and they're in college, by the time the youngest one gets to be about a junior is where the parents really say, okay, we really need to sit down and start counting.
We need to
things.
Figure this out.
Make sure that, am I going to retire when I'm 65 or 62 or 70 or 75? When can I retire?
75? Not many people are planning, I'm going to retire at 75.
Some people say they're never going to be able to retire until they actually sit down and count the numbers and look to see what the retirement income needs are.
I was at a luncheon for Salvation Army a week or two ago, and they highlighted a woman who is 92, a volunteer at the Salvation Army. She retired as a school teacher at 82 years old.
Wow.
82. Most people want to retire, at least
before that.
Retire. But so, it is really that time, Pat.
Yeah. And so I actually, I came up with a name for it. It's called Swens. They're still working empty nesters.
I'm glad you came up with a name for
it. They're called Swens. It's going to catch on. It will catch on, much like Dinks, back in the day. The young people in the studio, in the production room are staring at me. A Dink is double income, no children. Well, you're not young. I'm talking to the young people in the studio audience.
That's not a term anymore.
And it's not, but Swens is. Still working, empty nesters.
Still working, yeah. But
it's the time.
And here's the interesting thing, Pat. So, at Hansen McClain, what we've noticed is that there are some people at this time, their last kids that through college, and they look at this as, wow, this is a great opportunity for us to save. We've been putting all this money towards Sally. Are there still a 20?
No, no one's named Sally.
To Megan.
They're 22-year-olds. Their name is not
Madison.
Madison. Okay. There we go. Ashley.
Yeah. So Maddie is just finally graduated.
Or Ash. Okay. Or Connor.
Trevor.
Okay. All right. You get the point.
There's no Bob or
Rupert.
Yeah.
There's no Ruperts.
There's no Rupert. So
Martha's. No Martha's.
Maddie is now graduated college. About to graduate college. And Maddie's been costing us X dollars per year. So we've seen some people say, I want to take that money that we've been spending on Maddie and set it aside for retirement. We've figured a way to live without it. Sometimes we see a spouse will go back into the workplace, like when the kid's in high school. And so now we want to take those dollars and fund it all towards retirement. Sometimes we see that Hansen McClain, right?
Sometimes.
And other times.
And what a great opportunity. People actually come in and say, how much, we bring them through the 7 personal decision points, right? How much money do you need to retire? How much do you have now? What do you need to do to get there?
And we see others.
Where?
They say, oh, Maddie's finally through. All these dollars we've been spending on Maddie, we can take that and really enjoy ourselves.
And the big cruises and
lots of trips, maybe a second home, motorhome, all fine things. The challenge is,
it's hard to have both.
Yes. And maybe for some people, the right thing is, well, maybe we can increase our lifestyle some, but not as much as we could otherwise. Because The challenge, if you're used to living on a certain lifestyle, and now you're 53 or whatever, and yes. Ashley's gone.
Ashley's out of the house.
Out of the college, all that stuff. She's launched. If your lifestyle
she's got
suddenly,
her art history degree.
Yeah. Sexual studies of indigenous people in some small country that only 8 people have heard of. So if you've increased your standard of living during the years of your 50s, the challenge is now when you hit 60 in your 60s, plan on retiring, you need even additional money for retirement because your standard of living's now increased. So not only have you not increased your savings that you probably should have, but now you have it's doubly challenged because now you need even more money saved for retirement that you don't have.
Correct. And it makes it difficult. So in having these conversations with friends of mine over the last week at these graduation parties, you're like, congratulations. And then the deer in the headlights look like, this is kind of scary for 2 reasons. One, my kid's leaving home. You know, I don't know how my relationship with my wife's going to go now that we don't have, all these kids around us. And the second is, what's this retirement? So this is a great time for people to actually sit back, especially if they had money going to. In fact, I'll tell you what I did with a client a year and a half ago when their youngest daughter, 2 years ago, their youngest daughter graduated from college. They had 2 kids. We accelerated the payments on their house in order to get their home paid off in 6 months. And we increased
6 years.
And we increased her 401k and 457 contributions to $44,000 a year because she had both available. And that was a perfect example of taking those monies that was going towards the tuitions and then applying them against the mortgage as well as retirement.
Well, that kid must have been in an expensive school.
Well, they had 2 kids graduating year after year. And the client naturally had taken all the money and put it into the mortgage where I said, well, there's a happy medium. We're going to get the house paid off by the time you're retired and increase your 401k and 457 contributions. And for those of you that said, how can you put 44 grand into a plan? Well, she had 2 different plans. It's just quirk in the law.
Yes. So something to certainly consider if you have a graduate right now, or you're hoping you're going to have graduate, maybe your kid's on the 5-year plan. If you want to join the program, you got a question for us, perhaps it has to do with something in retirement, you're looking at that, maybe it's something else you're dealing with in retirement, maybe it's your own savings or perhaps you're trying to got an issue with a loved one you're trying to help out, financial issue,
or maybe you're wondering whether you should, as my clients did, pay down their mortgage, or maybe you're just wondering whether you have enough money to retire comfortably.
Yeah.
Where we've seen tremendous amounts of traffic on our website is on these portfolio stress tests.
Yeah, we'll talk to join the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. So give us a call if you've got a question for us. 1-888-2-HANSON. And the portfolio stress test you mentioned really briefly. Yeah, look, it's been this bull market, the stock market it's been sideways the last couple of years.
But it's a long, long, long bull market from a historical perspective.
And we had a pretty good downturn. Well, the start of the year, we had a good downturn. We had a good downturn. I shouldn't say good size.
We had a downturn.
Not good.
Which was
the wrong adjective. And then again, last fall and last summer, a pullback. Markets did recover. But some people are saying, when are we going to have another major downturn? When are we going to have another 20% correction or worse? Because if you go back since 2000, last decade and a half, we had the tech bubble, followed by 9/11 and the recession that ensued. The broad stock market fell about 45%. Then we had the things recovered. Then we had the financial crisis. Broad stock market fell by over 50%. Then we had recovery from the markets again, and we've had some growth. The question is, when's the next downturn going to occur? Now, we don't know.
Yes.
Nobody knows.
We know it's going to happen at some point in time. We know it is going to happen. And the question that you should have, and most people would have, is what's going to happen to my portfolio? Your portfolio.
Not your neighbors. Yours.
Your portfolio when that happens, right? And so I was... There's
I was thinking about this the other day. There's two costs in a portfolio. There's two costs. There's the cost that you pay to buy or sell the stock, bonds, or mutual funds.
Or a management fee.
Or a management fee. That's one cost. But the biggest cost in everyone's portfolio and the hardest one to isolate is the risk in the portfolio itself. That is a cost. The downside risk in a portfolio is a cost.
In other words, if you have $1 million portfolio and it falls 30%,
right?
That's $300,000.
That is a cost,
that's
right?
A big cost.
And what are you spending that cost for? Spending it hopefully for the upside in the portfolio. That's what the hope is. But if you cannot measure your potential or at least predict your potential upside or your potential downside in a market fluctuations, how do you know you're getting good value for that cost in the portfolio?
Well, not only that, how confident are you that you can withstand whatever shock may come?
That is correct. So if you participate in 100% of the upside in the market and 0% of the downside, that's a great portfolio. It's a unicorn portfolio. They don't exist. It doesn't exist. So the question you want to ask yourself is, let's say the market falls 20%. If the market falls 20%, what is my possible participation in that downdraft in the market? Is it 20%? Is it 30%? Is it 10%? And that's actually what we have done with the portfolio stress test, is it is a predictive tool to help measure not only the downside in the market, but the upside as well. And it is predictive in nature based upon historical evidence. So at least it gives the investor an idea and lets you know what the downside and upside looks like.
And it's the kind of thing we walk many of our clients through to say, look, here's how your portfolio is allocated. Do you understand this? Are you comfortable? Is this the right kind of portfolio? Every individual is different. Of course, every client of Hanson McLean is different. And that's the sort of thing that you should be working with your advisor on. If your advisor hasn't done that already, I'd encourage you maybe if this is to have some conversation with them about, can you show me a stress test? What would happen? What could my portfolio look like if we had these other shocks that we've seen in the past?
Or you can go to our website at moneymatters.com.
Yeah, go to moneymatters.com. There's a thing there too where you can look at a portfolio stress test and look for stuff. It's really an important thing. What we found is if people, the better understanding you could have of your own portfolio and the more it's constructed, designed about your own personal needs and your own personal risk tolerances, the better you're going to do over a long period of time. We're going to take a quick break to join Hanson McLean, 1-888-2-HANSON. We'll be right back.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766. Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments, all on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
All right, we're back. Scott Hanson, Pat McLean, glad you are with us today. 888-2-HANSON to join the program. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, and love to take your call regarding something financial. Let's start here with the phones and talk to Ron. Ron, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yes, hi. I have a question regarding my parents, who are 81 and 85, and recently moved to a senior independent living apartment up in Napa Valley area.
Okay.
And we just listed their home, which is really their sole retirement asset, and they're hoping to net probably between $300,000 and $325,000 from the sale of the house. And
was there a mortgage on that? Is that that's what they'll net when everything's said and done? Okay.
And no, that's just cost for the sale. But no, they own it free and clear.
Okay.
So their monthly living expenses are running about $4,400 a month, and their Social Security income is about $2,000 a month. So the only other savings they have is about $21,000 in a savings account at the moment. So my question for you,
Ron, is that right? So they're living in an independent living facility, and it's only $4,400 a month?
Correct.
And does that include food as well, or is that just board?
It's actually less than that. Their rent is $3,600, so I'm adding in their, car insurance and, the other their health insurance premiums. So I'm rounding that, but it's roughly $4,400 a month plus some incidentals. So it's probably a little higher than that.
Yeah, and does that include food as well?
Yes.
Wow, that's a pretty good price for two people, which is amazing to say that. You know, where you're spending $4,500 a month and we're saying, well, that's a great price. But it really is.
Yeah.
It's very reasonable.
Well, especially in that area, it's really a great deal.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So their Social Security is $2,000 a month. So you have a gap there of at least $2,500 a month.
Correct. So,
up last year, were they just living on $2,000 a month?
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
And plus they about a year or so ago they cashed in a life insurance policy, and so that has kind of like that started out around $50,000. I think it was a year and a half ago or so. So that's kind of been pulled off of as well. So they had a little bit of income from some IRAs that were supplementing to the tune of maybe $100 to $200 a month. But that second one of that is running out within the next couple of months.
Ron, I can't tell you how common it is for people to be in your situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like every week we're talking with clients that just like you, that mom, it's either oftentimes just mom, but her mom and dad, now they're trying to help with the finances. And what's their health like?
Health is decent. It's only going to increase in terms of their needs on that front as time goes by. But, father is quite in great shape, great health. Mother has some health issues, and that's going to require more care over.
And is there a Medicare?
On a sooner time frame.
Do you have a Medicare supplement policy in place for insurance, medical insurance?
They do. So I guess that's Kaiser, right?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that would be it.
Yes.
So, we do need to worry if there could be some medications in the future that we need to pay for. I mean, the challenge you've got now, right? You just kind of look at it and think, well, we've got about 10 years worth of income.
Right. Well, my real question for you guys is, is there any place where we can put the proceeds of at least some portion of the house sale for possible growth? It's really short term, and they're going to be needing to draw a fair amount of that over time. So I just don't, there's really nothing that I can see outside of, I was wondering what you guys thought of like doing a bond ladder or, with individual, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me,
you're just trying to do the best thing.
Yeah. Ron, are you the only child?
Yeah. Well, I'm the only one who's involved in this.
Okay.
Okay. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's good and bad. It's good and bad. Right. Believe me. Yeah. Believe me. It depends on who the other players are, whether it's good or bad. So the question is, what would the investment mix be?
Will they, once you manage the money, will they just kind of...
Will they ever see the statements?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, are they really involved in this and you're just trying to give some advice, or are you essentially taking control?
Well, no. So, for the last probably year and a half to 2 years, I've been the one responsible to do all the bill payment. And it's really sort of beyond their ability or interest, honestly, to deal with any of this. So I really, it's falling to me, and I really just want to do what I can possibly do to make it the best source of income for them that I can, obviously.
So when you look at it, the big question is, the investor psychology behind the investment, right? Which is not only yours, but your parents. So if we said, okay, maybe take half of it and put it in a moderate portfolio, if that portfolio was down, no one worries about it when it's up, right? If it was up 20%, everyone's great. You'll worry about it when it's down. If the portfolio was down 5 or 10%, would your parents be aware of it and how would they react? And you would be aware of it, and how would you react?
They would probably not be aware of it, unless I made them aware of it, obviously.
Okay.
And, certainly in terms of my husband and myself and our investment strategy is we're, you know, conservative, but at our ages, you know, we're also looking for growth too. So, you know, we do not chase the market.
Okay.
We typically buy and hold for a long time.
Okay.
So some of these dollars we know are going to be used soon, like each month, right? So, I mean, there's nowhere we can put this and get enough income off that investment. A conservative, a real investment to make the kind of return to pay $2,500 a month.
You're going to use principal. You're going to use principal.
Yeah. So, I mean, one way to look at it is kind of maybe break it into a third and saying, all right, for the first 3 years, I'm just going to keep these 3 years worth of income in a savings account, money market account, something along those lines, and realize you're not going to earn much. Then I'm going to take a third, roughly the next 3 years, and have it in more of a more managed portfolio, but still somewhat on the conservative side. And then really the last third of saying, I'll take some growth with it, knowing that these are dollars that we're not going to need for 7 years. So let's take those dollars that we're not going to need to touch for 7 years, and let's put them in an area that we're going to have a real high probability of good growth 7 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, there's still always that possibility that anytime we move away from a bank account, there's a possibility that even 7-8 years from now could be worth less than it is today.
Sure. Sure.
So we need to kind of balance those things. I mean, the challenge is, you know, if they live long enough, regardless of how you're going to structure the portfolio, there's a good chance they'll run out of money.
Right? Yes.
So if they both live to 100 during their 90s, it's going to be a bit of a challenge.
So I'm just going to throw this out there, Rhonda. Do you have a mortgage on your house?
On my own house?
Yes.
No.
Okay. I was going to say, sometimes it makes sense actually to have your parents lend you money and then you actually instead make the payments rather than the bank.
Another thing, for some portion, and this kind of out there, you might look at an immediate annuity for them.
For
depending on, I don't know what their health's like, but if they're in good health for their age, and an immediate annuity would pay for as long as they lived.
But how much would you put in that? It wouldn't put more than 100.
Yeah, I was going to say like a third max.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the things I'd give some consideration
to. And actually, I kind of like that idea. So why not buy an immediate annuity for $100,000 for the first 5 years?
And you could have a guarantee for a minimum period of time.
Yeah, for the first 5 years. Or just an annuity for 5 years. 5 year immediate annuity, and then you actually invest the proceeds. But you most certainly, Rhonda, I think
we're not big fans of annuities, by the way. But there are times when they make sense, and this might be one.
But the thinking, right, that you have to move up the risk profile a little bit because of the fact that, you know, when you go out 5, 10, 12 years, not only can the portfolio tolerate it, it's probably the wisest thing to do is to put a little bit risk in there versus
on the dollars you're not going to need to spend the next few years.
For the next few years.
Right.
So I like that. It gives you the highest probability of success. Not a guarantee, but a high probability.
Basically kind of 100-100-100 and do the first 3 years savings. The next third is what you're saying in terms of an immediate annuity, which I have to admit, my reaction to annuities has always been a highly negative one. But
it's an immediate annuity is more like a pension plan.
So, and you would use that for the first 3 to 5 years, Rhonda, not the middle.
Oh, okay.
Something that would guarantee. So if mom lives to 102, there's still some additional income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I would factor that in as an option. I don't know if I'd recommend it or not, but
yeah, I would certainly look at it.
I'd look at the numbers and I'd factor that into consideration.
Okay.
If it was my mom I was dealing with.
And the other question, right? We need to ask it. If your mother and father didn't have this money, would you and your brothers and sisters be able to support them in this fashion of the tune to $4,500 a month?
I would, yes.
Okay. Yeah, which tells us even more that
I am their backstop.
So. Okay, do a third, a third,
yeah,
a third.
Which means you can actually could, worst case, if that third that was in risk assets was worth a little less, you could have a little more time than otherwise. So, hey, appreciate the call, Ron, and your parents are fortunate to have you. They really are. We're taking a quick break. 1-888-2-HANSEN to join us. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766. Back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Two guys, two brains, and one head of hair.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're back here with us.
Lots of things going on this beginning of summer. In fact, last weekend I rode my bicycle around Lake Tahoe in Northern California.
They have that twice a year. They do it like an organized ride thing or whatever, 72 miles or so, whatnot.
Hadn't been training much. Hadn't planned on doing it. My brother.
Did you have to register?
My brother-in-law said, "Why don't we just go up there?" And he went down and bought them at 5 a.m. the day of, but on Friday afternoon, he called me and said, "Hey, why don't you do the 72-mile ride with me?" And I said, "No." But it was fun. And you went to Mount Shasta.
Mount Shasta last weekend.
Which is in the far reaches of Northern California to climb. And if you're a new listener to this show, Scott is, what do they call it, adventure freaks?
I am not an adventure freak.
Huh? What do they go? Extreme adventures?
That's not extreme either. Mount Shasta is not extreme. It's 14,000 feet.
Oh, nothing.
But it's all snow. If you start at 7,000,
what do you mean it's not extreme?
It was really pretty cool. I actually had a blast. I had more fun. I felt like a kid in a candy store.
So you're in the snow?
The weather was bad. There were 17 of us scheduled to go. One broke his leg on the training day ahead of time. Another story entirely. 16 of us went up with guides. The weather was bad. Most of the people turned back. Because of weather, our group have to essentially only and of our group only three of us.
And did the guides go to the top with you?
Our guide, we got roped in with literally roped in with three people and one guide, and the rest of the other guides decided to turn back based on some reports of the weather.
Oh,
but our guide kept pushing forward. Oh. I'm glad he did.
Well, he might have had something to do with the people in the that he was leading that. Gave him confidence to lead forward.
Yeah, maybe. We really want to keep going.
Is that right? Did he ask the questions?
We're not turning back. We saw tons of people turn back.
Oh.
Because it was pitch dark at night. You'd start at midnight. We're hiking up. And some people hike. I don't get into too much detail. It's suffice to say you can see all these headlamps of people coming down the mountain because they're giving up because of the weather. And we charged forward and
good were for you. Successful. And how long did it take you?
It was 13 hours round trip.
Were you exhausted?
9 hours up and 4 hours down.
Were you exhausted when it was done?
No. As a matter of fact, I was surprised that
did you go for a run or something afterwards?
I did not go for a run. I did enjoy a cool beverage.
Did you?
Actually, a cold beverage. Well, with one of my climbing buddies.
There we go. Yes. All right. Anyway, well, if you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-242-6766. Or you can always visit us on moneymatters.com.
And I think my son is getting a little the same bug. He's taken up, he does parasailing.
Is that where the fixed wing or the like?
Parachute wing where you kind of run off the side of the hill. You go up the side of the hill and you run off with your parachute and you're sitting down. But
I tell you
flying
what,
around in the air.
If my kids are doing that, I'd rather just them not tell me. I'd rather just not know.
Anyway, we're way off financial topics. This is a financial program.
888-242-6766 if you'd like to join the show. We're going to talk with Pamela. Pamela, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
I have a question regarding annuities. I have heard from some financial gurus that do not like them at all. And I recently had an advisor advise me to put approximately close to half of my, I have IRAs, 401ks, that sort of thing, but almost half my assets into an annuity because they're concerned about the volatility of the market right now.
What kind of annuity? What was the benefit? So annuities are insurance products, right? They're insurance. They're going to insure something. What was this annuity designed to do? Well, at least, how was it pitched to you?
To reduce the option or the happening that the value would go down greatly.
Yeah. So how is the product? But what's it supposed to do for you? So how is it? If you put half your money in this, how will that, besides it not falling, how is it going to react in the future?
If I understand it correctly, I don't understand a lot about it.
Yep.
But
that's fine. He probably doesn't either.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. It would cap at 6.5%.
Okay.
And so it would cap anything over that 6.5%. You know, whoever holds the annuity would take those gains.
Mm-hmm.
But it would keep me from losing money.
All right. Is there any guarantee?
And it would give me. It's a guarantee. Yeah, there's a guaranteed. I can't remember what age it would start. Like 67, it would start, and it would be through life.
Got it. It's an index. It sounds like an indexed annuity. Is that ring a bell?
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay. So if you put how many years is your money locked into this contract?
Well, first off, I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the amount of time that it would be locked in.
Okay. But he did not mention how long it length of time?
What they call surrender charge?
No.
What happens if you wind your money out in a month from now?
Well, keep in mind, I didn't know the appropriate questions.
No, okay. I got it.
Correct.
I got to tell you, I'll be real honest. That is, to me, a red flag right there. Just right there.
It's a lack of disclosure. So let's ask a couple questions to see if an annuity even possibly makes sense. Because what you're doing is when you buy an annuity, and especially an index annuity, you're purchasing large amounts of insurance to protect against the downside. But some people actually don't need that insurance.
You're giving up a lot of the upside.
And you're giving up tremendous amounts of the upside because there's what they call a participation rate in that annuity.
Over the next 10 years, you'll earn much less than 6.5% because they're capping
any
1 year at 6.5%.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Pamela. How old are you?
I'm 62.
Okay. And you're retired?
No. That's my goal, is to be retired one day. I would like to be, I can't see myself not working because I'm just a busy person. But ideally, I'd like to be ready by the time I'm 65.
Okay, and when you retire, will you receive a monthly pension?
No.
Okay.
It's all self-funded.
Okay, and how much money are we talking about with the 401ks and IRAs and everything else?
Okay, I knew you were going to ask that.
Just approximately.
They're suggesting $250,000 to go into the annuity, and the balance is probably maybe over three. And then I will have my property paid for by then.
By retirement age, 3 years. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And my goal, my goal wasn't that huge, but it is to live comfortably.
Mm-hmm. So
and.
Here's what I'm going to recommend. So what you just told us now, right? What you just told us now is I would not be comfortable recommending any sort of an annuity to you because you've gotten these dollars invested all this time period. You've gone through two of the worst markets in modern times, and you've been able to, did you stay invested during those markets?
Yes, I was. Unfortunately, I did have money. I'd lost quite a bit of money in high tech, but
That was back in 90. That was 99, right? So you learned a lot. Fortunately, that happened quite some time ago. So you learned quite a bit.
Yeah, you probably haven't been as much. I would imagine this 550 is not 100% in stocks right now, correct?
No.
I mean, hopefully you're probably at a point where maybe half is, maybe even less than half is in stocks. I would assume if you're got a good financial advisor.
I requested a conservative portfolio. I don't want I don't want to take too many risks at my age because I can't afford, I don't have the years to work that I did to recoup what I lost before.
So here's, in looking at your situation, I'm just going to do some rough numbers, and then I want you to go to our website and download. In fact, we're going to send you Scott's book, The 7 Personal Decision Points.
Okay.
And we'll send you a link to on the website where we've got
where I did a webinar that talks about it. So the first thing we actually determine is how much income you need in retirement.
And also, we'll also send you a link to we have a webinar on annuities. I think it's 5 or 6 minutes if you want to learn more about it. We're not big fans of annuities in many situations.
So the first thing you determine is how much money you need to retire. And so the thing that we know about you is your house will be paid off, which is great. I mean, that is one of the best things you can do is pay your house off before you retire. And then you start looking at it and you say, well, your Social Security is probably going to be at age 65, probably $1,500 to $1,600 a month. And assuming that you continue to make contributions into your 401k and we get some moderate growth on there, we can expect that it's going to be maybe about $600,000 a year. So I'm just doing this off the cuff. And if I take a 4% distribution on $600,000, it's $2,000 a month. Plus the Social Security of $1,500 a month. At age 65, it's conceivable that you're going to have $3,500 a month in income.
On a conservative side, and no home payment.
And no home payment. So what do you earn now?
No home payment.
Yeah, what do you earn now at your job?
Probably about 58.
So and what are you making on mortgage payments?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Your mortgage payments a month. How much are you paying down?
My payments a month are a little shy of $1,100.
So, my gosh, you're
shy of $1,200.
Listen, you do not need an index annuity. You probably don't need an annuity at all. And I would go through that 7 personal decision points. You look like you're going to be able to retire comfortably at anywhere between the ages of 65 and 66, just based on that little bit of information you've given me already.
Why would someone recommend that?
Because it pays a huge, huge commission. It's a massive commission. And was the person from your bank?
It's one of the top. It's one of the more well-known.
Yeah, it's a massive commission.
So let me ask you a question. The advisor you have now, do you pay a fee, like a quarterly management fee on that, or how is the compensation?
I believe it's a percentage.
Okay.
Of the portfolio, if I'm correct.
Okay.
I think it's 1%.
For what you're paying for the 1%, they should be doing retirement planning for you. That's all part of it. That is absolutely all part of it. So that you're not guessing whether you could retire at age 65. That there's actually tools in place that measure it. There's also tools that measure your risk tolerance, and there's tools that measure the portfolio.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, and a major red flag did go off because I'm on the road a lot, and I listen to talk radio, and I've heard
we don't like equity index annuities at all. What fact is, you put money in there, the vast majority of those dollars are going to buy, the insurance company goes and buys bonds in this marketplace. Interest rates are already low, so what you're really doing is locking in long-term interest rates at low rates. Then you add in the insurance company's cost. The commission to the broker is probably 8% or something on this. Huge commissions. All the other fees that are involved, they're just the return, if you actually calculate what the market might do in a normal 20-year period, the returns just are so low.
So, and it's good that bells and whistles went off. That's what, trust your gut. Whenever you're making an investment, especially women, you guys are more intuitive than most men. You really, they are, for whatever reason. They're better investors. Women, because their intuition is typically stronger than men's. And trust your gut. And if it doesn't look good or you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable, pass. It's okay. It's okay not to invest. So we do appreciate the call.
We're up over to the clock here. Hey, so glad you called.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we wish you well.
Thank you.
If you want to join Hanson McLean, 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766. Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Now, welcome back to Hanson McLean. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Yeah. Hey, we had mentioned that last thing about on our website. We've got a webinar on annuities. And if someone's recommending an annuity to you and you're trying to figure out how these products work, what questions maybe you should ask, we would highly recommend that you download.
Scott, will you stop it? We're not recommending, they're selling. If someone's selling you an annuity.
Well, you know what? But there are times when they can be appropriate. So, full disclosure here. Our firm, we have about $2 billion that we in our care for our clients. I think around $200 million are in annuities. These were all purchased.
But long, long time ago. Recently, less than 1% of the assets goes into annuities of the new assets.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Somewhere right around there. Yeah, less than 1%. There are times every once in a while they make some sense. We've never recommended an equity index annuity. I don't like the cost structure. I think they pay way too high commissions. I don't think they're...
The liquidity.
Yeah, totally liquid. They're horrible. But there are some products that can make some sense. And every once in a while, but we used some back in the day when they had better guarantees. It was just a different marketplace.
They were a lot less expensive.
You can't buy the same things today.
In fact, the insurance companies are trying to buy them back from our clients at premium.
The ones we found, yeah.
Yeah.
Of 10% or more.
Premium. So if you have a
100,000, they'll give you 110,000.
10,000 because they're trying to get these contracts off the
book. Yeah, every year, we get clients getting all kinds of offers for, they worked out extremely well for people. But
those days are gone.
Just like the days of getting 8% CDs are gone. Yes. Maybe they'll return again, but they're not there now. Anyway, there is a great webinar, moneymatters.com. It's, I don't even know what it's called, something about annuities.
Annuities.
The 28 things.
The good, the bad, the ugly. That's what it's called.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. It's something. John, our producer, it's titled, Why Everyone Wants to Sell You an Annuity. And we don't.
There we go. That's it. And if that was brilliant. I don't know who named that. But the webinar,
it's like a Western. Got a whole Western theme.
If you'd like to join the show, 888-242-6766. Or you can always visit us at moneymatters.com. Yes.
Let's talk with Wayne in Shingle Springs. Wayne, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, thank you for taking my question.
Thank you, Wayne. Glad you called.
Okay, so me and my girlfriend are in a very fortunate situation. I'm 35 years old. She's 33. We own our house free and clear because of a trust that she had. And my first initial question is, what is the difference between 100% equity and owning free and clear? Is that the same statement?
That is the same statement. You have 100% equity in the house?
Yes.
It means you own the property free and clear.
Yeah. Okay. So basically what I wanted to do is I have no idea how to pull out some equity to partially do an investment with you guys. And I wanted to do an investment with our house with solar. And I just don't know who to talk to. And I apologize for my lack of knowledge here. But,
so let's talk a little bit about this. What's the value of the home?
Okay, so I was fortunate enough to be able to look for a house in 2008 when the market was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. We paid for our house $320,000.
What's it worth today?
I would say 400 is a safe bet.
And do you have a job where you have a 401k available to you or a 403b?
I do have a job, and I have not signed up with my 401k, and I have not started saving yet.
Okay.
And so I want to. I listen to you guys every weekend, and I'd like to be smarter with my investment.
Okay. And Wayne, does your girlfriend have a job that she has a 401k or 403b or 457 available to her?
No, we don't. And I know this sounds terrible, but both of us need to. And
does she have a job where one is available? I know you're not not using it, but is one available to her?
No. Okay. I have one. I have my job. There's one available. Her job. It's more of a self-employment type.
Okay.
And is the house held jointly?
Yes, the house is in both of our names. We're not married yet, but it's still in both of our names.
Do you have children?
And we have one child. Yes.
How old?
He's 5 years old.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I do not want you to take a home equity line on this house. I do not want you to invest any of the proceeds from the supposed home equity line in our firm. As much as we'd love to have you as a client, I don't think it's the best thing for you overall. First thing I want you to do is go buy yourself a $500,000 term life insurance policy on yourself. List your girlfriend as the beneficiary. That's the very first thing. I don't want you to do anything else before you do that. Got it?
Okay.
Do you have term life insurance now?
No. Is this just to protect my girlfriend and our son?
Or yes,
is
yes. Correct.
Possible investment?
This isn't an investment. This is pure protection. It's got no cash balance in it. You're going to buy term life insurance, 10-year level term.
Okay, so the other guy that is on, that does a show like you guys, okay, mm-hmm. he says that it is not a good idea to get life insurance as an investment.
No, this isn't an investment. This is term life insurance. It is not an investment.
Okay, again, I apologize.
It's dirt cheap. So it's just like you have fire insurance on your house and liability insurance on your car. It's if Wayne gets hit by a truck tomorrow, that income that you've been earning stops. How's the kid going to have, the five-year-old going to have income for food?
So I need it. What do you earn in your job approximately?
Not enough.
More like 50,
pretty much $3,000 a month.
Okay, $36,000. What does your wife, girlfriend earn in her job?
About the same.
Okay.
I'd say less life. $300,000
for each of you. Buy $300,000 on you. $300,000 on your wife.
It's cheap.
Get 10 years level term. 10 year level term. Right. That's the first thing you want you to do. Second thing I want you to do is I want you to get a will or a trust. Now you're probably not going to want to spend that much money on an attorney. So even if you have to go online and use one of these self-help legal systems, get a will or a trust on yourself. Preferably a trust. And what this is going to do is both you and your girlfriend are actually going to decide who's going to watch your son in case something happens to the both of you. Right? So that's the second thing. I hope you're writing this down. The third thing what's that?
That's a tough conversation to have.
Listen, you're trying to do the right thing, and doing the right thing oftentimes requires tough conversations. And unpleasant conversation, but you're trying to do the right thing. And you called and asked our opinion about doing the right thing. And I want you to do the right thing. So then the third thing I want you to do, so that's the will and the trust, term life insurance, will and trust. The third thing I want you to do is I want you to go to your office, your human resources on Monday, and I want you to start putting in 6% of your payroll into the 401k. I want you to put it into 100% S&P 500. They will have an S&P 500 selection on there. I want you to put 6% of your payroll into 100%. Next time you get a raise, I want you to increase that contribution by another 2%. So I want you to do those three things. I don't want you to do anything about the solar right now. I don't want to do anything about the home equity.
If you want to do the solar, I would do let them finance it.
I was afraid of a lease because of just the possibility of a lien.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. I mean, that doesn't matter.
I actually have a leased solar panel on my house.
And I own it. So it's a half dozen of one. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
But
so,
here's the thing. Your house right now, your house is paid for, right? And frankly, it's paid for from money from your wife's family, assuming family. So the house is paid for. If you refinance that house and pull equity out of that house, what you're really doing is taking a personal loan and pledging your home as security.
Don't ever pull any equity out of that house. I don't care what happens. This is the way you're going to be able to retire comfortably. You do those three things.
And the way you've got financial security for you, your girlfriend, and for your son.
You do those three things we talk about. Call us back in 6 months, and we'll bring you to the next step.
Yeah. Hey, glad you called, Wayne. And we are out of time, unfortunately. We are here every weekend at the same hour at the same station or via podcast. Just look at Hanson McClain at iTunes or go to moneymatters.com. This has been Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.